welcome to another special episode of DDG Presents. We are recording this on Sunday, July 12th, a little bit after the Ubisoft Forward event. So typically, like we've been doing over the last couple of weeks with any events or special announcements, we are recording something as soon as we possibly can. This is the first event that I've missed live.
I did as well, even though I had the option, but I was worried there would be some moments that I could just ignore. So I was like, you know, I'll just watch it recorded so then I can skip if anything is boring. Luckily, yeah. Nothing was boring, but...
Nah, pretty heavy pre-show. Yeah. Typical Ubisoft doing a lot of pre-show things.
Oh, yeah.
And talking about some stuff. I mean, they do a good job. They put on a good show. But we're going to jump right into it. So you are listening to Digital Days Gaming. If this is the first time that you found us, thank you so much for listening, downloading. If you're able to leave us a review, we would greatly appreciate it. If you found us by looking for Ubisoft coverage or any coverage of the games that we're going to talk about today, we appreciate that. And your subscription means a lot to us. So if you could share it with your friends, retweet us, follow us on the main account, like us on Facebook, all that stuff will be linked in the description. And if you've been listening to the show for a long time, you know that the best way to help us is to just get more eyes on the show and help us grow. And one of the ways that we can do that is by covering as many events as possible, such as this Ubisoft Forward event. So this will show up on the feed as a bonus episode, and we will still record another episode this week as well. All right. So let's get right into it. So first off, they released a tweet a couple hours before the event. You want to go over that?
Yeah. So Ubisoft, if you've been following the regular show, they have had a series of allegations made against employees all over their industry, or all over like their staff, from HR to community managers to directors of games. So going into this event, they had to address it. They came out early on in the day to say that Ubisoft Forward comes out during a time of big internal change. Because all the content has been pre-recorded, we wanted to recognize that the issues we're currently dealing with won't be addressed directly in the show. We still have significant work to do and are committed to this process. We will provide more updates soon. So because this was a pre-recorded event, they didn't want to address it. I didn't expect them to address it in this very consumer-facing video, because it just would be odd, especially with the various allegations going against employees. It would just be weird if they did. I'm glad they released a statement, so you couldn't come out with a hot take afterwards that they didn't address it during the video, if that makes sense. You know, right. they prefaced it.
Yeah, to add to your point, it would also be weird because there are probably the majority of people that are video game fans or Ubisoft fans or even fans of so much stuff leaking over the last couple of days for this event, for somebody to turn this on and watch this and they lead with something like that. Like, that would be very weird to people. Like, I don't know what's going on. Like, what are you talking about? Like, because we know about it because there are some people that we interact with that have been mentioned in this. And we follow tons and tons of streamers and community people and we're involved in this industry, so we see a lot of it, and there's been a lot of just cross relationships of friends of friends or friend of a friend, you know, so we obviously see it more, but the average consumer wouldn't know who these people are. Like, if you went up to even a hardcore Assassin's Creed fan and said, hey, who produces the game, I would bet money that they couldn't tell you.
Yeah, for sure. And it is an ongoing thing, so ongoing that yesterday, Saturday, July 11th, or it might have been Friday, they announced three people were resigning, two of which had a ton of allegations against them. I'm sorry, I cannot pronounce some of these names, but I usually have heard this person's name just because he is the chief creative officer, Serge. His last name I can't pronounce, I'm sorry. It's like Hescotti or Hescote. He was like, beyond the CEO, the co-founder, Yves, he was second in command in terms of he would be able to greenlight or shut down a project. So he was considered untouchable amongst like the employees of Ubisoft. So he has resigned due to everything that's happened. And then you have Yanis Mallet, who's the CEO of the Canadian studios, also has a bunch of allegations against them. They resigned. And then also the global head of HR, Cecilia Cornett, resigned. There's no known allegations against that person, other than the fact that
she's the global head of HR.
Yes, exactly. And a lot of stuff happened that was reported to her that went unreported or to that person. Yeah. So that person, Cecile Cornette, it just made sense that they resigned just because all the stuff that's happening. It's really hard for the company to be like, we are going to change and then have the same people in charge.
Right.
Of those departments. So those people all resigned or were let go, but you know, it's executive world. So people just resign. They don't actually get fired. So Ubisoft is making changes. So they are doing a lot of things. And then there's still a bunch of stuff against some community managers and some producers, like the Assassin's Creed producer or director actually, is currently going through an investigation. So there's a lot of moving parts, but like they couldn't open the show being like, hey, these three people that you may have never heard of are resigned. So we just wanted to get this stuff up front just because we don't want to ignore all of this because this is like major stuff. But they did this away from the show. So now we will jump into Ubisoft Forward and talk about some of the games that they presented in this relatively short. It was like 45-minute presentation. Yeah.
So the first thing that I noticed that a little bit of a personal note is like I love to see like the people that we have relationships with move up. Neelam has been somebody that's been very nice to me for years of helping do things and getting us into the Ubisoft press conference. And Yusuf is a very good friend of mine from. We knew each other even before he was working for Ubisoft PR, just again, because it was a friend of a friend thing and we played games together. So to watch these people like, you know, kind of grow up and evolve in their jobs is always kind of cool. So they both got to host this and that was really cool to see. So that's, Michael's had a little bit of interaction with Neelam and almost none with Yusuf. And I run into Yusuf sometimes at events and he's a good guy. So it's really cool.
Yeah. So,
and just watching, like he was an intern like 4 or 5 years ago and now he's one of the lead streaming hosts that they have, so it's really cool to see. They started off with Watch Dogs Legion, which is something that obviously got pulled off the table earlier. We saw it at E3 last year. It got dated and then it said we're delaying it and we're not telling you until when. And typical Ubisoft fashion that they've been doing over the last couple of games, they showed, at first when I was watching this I'm like, they're not showing anything, like what is this? Like, is this CG? And then we find out it's a short film inspired by the game.
Yeah, I was really confused by it because I was like, is this real people? And then you would see some animation stuff and you're like, wait, is this gameplay? Or not gameplay, like an engine cutscene? Yeah. I was really confused by it. It looks cool.
So now what I don't know is, was this the whole film?
I have no idea. Will this be released on Amazon like the previous stuff has been?
Yeah,
because
they've done something
for
Far Cry. They did something for Ghost Recon, Breakpoint. So they've done a couple things. The Far Cry ones were really cool, just kind of telling, you know, deeper into the story. So, but they did go right into gameplay after that, showing the video showcasing dozens or so of characters that you can play as during the missions. Again, just doubling down, which I'm happy to see because it was something that you and I were both very concerned about. But they're doubling down on the, you know, any character, anywhere, any origin story. But at the same time, I still have my concerns because they actually showed a scene of two different characters, but them talking to somebody on a computer monitor saying the exact same line, and then the other character, two different characters again, pretty much saying the same thing, but different.
Yeah, I have a feeling we're going to get a lot of that throughout this game. And also, I think it's going to be way more restricted than when we first saw the game. Like when we saw this clip, it's like, here are the like 15 players or characters you can use for this mission, as opposed to like the first trailer of like any single NPC is playable. It looks like it is going to be more refined and that this might be limitations for hardware. But yeah, I have a feeling that for cutscene purposes or anything where one of your NPC or playable characters talks to someone, there might just be like a swap of a couple different like
phrases. I guess what I just hope though is that as you're selecting characters, because when they showed us this before, that you're kind of like looking into their background and you're figuring things out, they'll have strength and they'll have weaknesses and they'll have abilities and like almost like a class system, and that'll kind of should help you decide if you like to have a balanced team. And then they didn't talk about it during this event, but the game does have permadeath in it. So if you lose your character, like they're gone. If they die, or they're dead. You have a chance, I believe, to give up, and you can be like captured, and then you can have your other characters like save them. But if you choose to like do a second wind and then you die, like you're done. So all your leveling and everything is gone. All your upgrades are gone. I just hope that if you're picking, you know, the drone specialist, and then you're picking like the aggressive like enforcer, that their origin missions don't end up being very similar. And like, I just hope that there's at least, if they put, and I don't even know the number, but 12 to 16 different style missions in there, I don't really think people, as they play through this game, are going to be recruiting more than 16 characters.
Yeah, I don't expect that either. I have a feeling, based on like the special class or whatever, those all origins will be the same.
Yeah, so they're like, what do you think, like 6 or 8 classes maybe, even if that many, 4 to 6?
Yeah, and no matter what character you pick, like what version of that class you pick, their origin's going to be pretty much the same. I have a feeling no matter what, like the old lady that they keep showing and then people really like to like focus on, I'm sure there are like 5 different versions of that old lady, and the origin
all
is
the same,
all going to be the
old lady
same.
Mission, so
yeah.
Yeah,
that just makes sense, like logistic wise. So mm-hmm. This is going to be one of those things where once we see it, we'll probably be able to poke holes in.
Yeah, it's still a really cool structure. It's still a really cool concept, and I hope that they are able to surprise us with enough that where it doesn't feel samey. And I just mm-hmm. I don't want to like be, you know, 6 hours into the game and I lose one of my characters that I'm really attached to, and then I go after, you know, recruiting somebody else of similar attributes, and then like go back and almost do the exact same thing I just did 6 hours ago. Like, I don't really want to do that because I lost a character, so I hope that there's at least a little diversity in it.
Yeah, I have a feeling for the casual or the one and done playthrough, it's going to be pretty solid, and yeah, you're not going to see many holes. It's going to be the completionist players,
yeah,
the ones that want
to
see every bit of content.
You know, unlock a character for each version of class to get the platinum or something.
Yeah, they are going to be the ones that are going to get frustrated and will probably see like issues, you know, throughout their playthrough or multiple right. playthroughs. I have a feeling if you're just going to play this game one time and
recruit three to six characters, you'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah, you're going to be fine, and you're going to be impressed by like the amount of content you see from that. It's when you decide, there's 50 characters that I could play as, and you want to lock all 50, then you're going to start seeing the flaws. Yeah. But if you just want 1 or 2 characters per class, you'll probably be really impressed with what they do.
Yeah.
And I honestly would be that player, probably. Just play it once, breeze through it.
I mean,
like,
I enjoyed Watch Dogs 2 tremendously. Like, just the gameplay mechanic of it, it was so much fun. And then they showed off like a construction worker who carries a wrench and a nail gun as his primary weapon. They showed off a drone expert use her own hacks, and she can actually hack enemy drones. So they're kind of like, oh, if you don't want to like get in the grit, you don't have to, and you can actually recruit Albion Officers, which is the corporation that's supposed to be protecting London. You know, soccer hooligans. Professional,
I like that one.
Yeah, professional hitman. So they were showing off a couple more characters. And I think it's kind of cool because you can kind of, it's that play your way aspect of like, I really, you know, I still remember like playing Watch Dogs 2 where I would try not to like enter the building until like I had it really scouted out. Like, I really wanted to play that way, and I was using the remote control cars and the drones and the hacking and the, you know, and the distraction tools versus just, because I have enough games that I play that I can go in there and slide around and shotgun everything if I want to. And so like being able to play it differently and figure out things that are, you know, what's fun for the player, and then say, hey, you know what, this time I want to do this, and I want to just hit everybody with the blunt end of a shotgun, so I'm just going to do that. So I think that having those kind of choices are cool. It's just one of those ones that I just hope the mission structures, and it's an interesting, you know, the campaign missions, because I'm assuming this is going to have a somewhat linear open world style campaign. Yes, I realize that's like a broad sentence I just used, but there'll be spots on the map that are missions that no matter what characters you have, the missions are the same. Like, I fully expect that. I just hope that you don't feel, because you have a drone expert and you don't have an enforcer, that you feel restricted. Like, that's what I hope doesn't happen.
Yeah, that it's open enough that you won't regret, like, the path you've chosen, basically.
Or feel like you have to go get one to complete the mission. Like, that I don't ever want to go in and do the mission and realize, hey, you know what, I don't have the drone expert or the, you know, the correct hacker, and I have to go find this person just to complete this mission. I want it to be able to allow somebody to, I guess, maybe play through with ever not killing anybody and also be able to kill everything and break every door, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense, because they're pitching us as play whichever way you want, and that would force you to play specific ways. The only concern I have for the game, because everything they showed looked actually really fun to play, the only thing I'm having, and it's a problem I have with most games from Ubisoft that aren't Assassin's Creed, is the world is super serious.
Mm-hmm.
And the cutscenes are super serious, but then the gameplay is open world shenanigans. Yeah. And when I was watching the cutscenes, and they're, you know, it's like police state Brexit type stuff, and like the people rebelling against the government, and like that's happening.
They showed in the trailer the head of the company shooting the police commissioner in the
head. Yeah, so which like, is like it's over exaggerated, but yeah. It was definitely certain aspects of it where I'm just like, some of this stuff is kind of happening in the real world, and then they're like, oh, you can play as a drunk hooligan, and I'm just like, oh man, I hope they can find a good balance between that.
I think they did in Watch Dogs 2, because Watch Dogs 2 was like taking place during like an election campaign, and you were trying to build, you know, build followerships and to expose somebody, and they almost like push the envelope far enough. Like they keep pushing the crate to the very, very edge, and then they never push it over. They didn't do it in Far Cry in Far Cry 5 with the cults and the religion. They didn't do it in Watch Dogs with the political aspect. They got really, really close, you know, and they've gotten close a lot of times, and they start pushing the edge, and you're like, are they going to do it? And then they don't. And it's just like, okay. Like, so they push the envelope far enough. Not that it, you know, it would matter either way, but I just want to see somebody sometimes like really just break the wall.
Yeah, break the wall is one thing, but it's definitely one of those things where society in real life is getting close to breaking that wall. So it's one of those things
I just feel like they're a victim of circumstance of like when they started developing this game 2.5 years ago, they didn't know that this stuff could, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just gonna, and it's coming out during like election season. So it's going to be interesting, at least on the North American or the United States side, of just seeing this and be like, oof, okay.
Yeah, I'll be curious to how far they push the third party corporation controlling a city, you know, against what appears to be against maybe the prime minister's wishes.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be pretty interesting to see. I gave this game an award, an E3 award, when I've seen it. Like, I'm very interested in it. I really enjoyed Watch Dogs 2. I didn't give Watch Dogs 1 a fair shake, and a lot of people are like, don't even try, you know. Just because of some of the gameplay that's in there. Some people said that it doesn't have any attachment. So, and the each game doesn't appear to, there was some attachment in 2 to 1, but it was mostly like Easter egg driven. I expect there to be some Easter egg driven stuff, attachments for Legion to 2 and 1 as well. But if you've never played 1 or 2, I don't feel like you'll be lost if you play Legion.
No, and especially because it's taking place on a different continent, you know, different.
It's
country.
Not called Watch Dogs 3 for a reason, obviously. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
which probably expands them for the fourth Watch Dogs game. Will probably take place in a different country, or you know, a different horrible world circumstance that is potentially close
and
to real.
We'll talk about it near the end, but I think after a certain point in time, where you just need to start calling your games Watch Dog : something, like continuously numbering your games gets a little crazy.
Yeah, exactly. And then the game's coming out October 29th. We don't know. It is going to come to the next-gen consoles, but we don't know.
It'll support smart delivery on Xbox.
Yeah, so we don't know exactly, you know, like the next version will be available, because we don't know when the new consoles will be available. But October 29th for PS4 and Xbox One, and who knows, maybe possibly Series X and PS5, depending on when those get released.
They won't be out before October 29th.
No, probably not. It might be a week after October 29th they'll be out. Okay, and then after that, we got just quick trailers for mobile versions of Brawlhalla, which apparently does really well. I know there's a community behind that game, but a lot of the Ubisoft games have communities that I just don't know exist for a lot of their smaller stuff.
Yeah, it's going mobile. A lot of people really like the game, and it always looks cool, but it just looks like a game I'll just get my ass kicked in if I play it.
Mm-hmm. Same. Okay, and then Might and Magic got another trailer. Nothing new for that game on mobile devices, other than like if you download today or this week, there'll be bonuses. So there's that. Mm-hmm. And then Tom Clancy's Elite Squad, which was shown off last year. This is coming to Android soon. This is just Ubisoft's Overwatch, kind of. Like, it's just, like, famous characters from Ubisoft. Yeah. Like, they showed Sam Fisher in there from Splinter Cell. And I forget even what type of game this is going to be. I know we saw gameplay last year.
Yeah, I don't know a ton about it. And it's kind of one of those things where usually when you talk about a mobile game, it's coming out, like, then or within, like, 30 or 60 days of talking about it. And now we're, like, almost over a year. So, like, I'd be really curious to how this functions. It still looks really interesting. In terms of what they may or may not be trying to accomplish with it, but we'll have to see.
Yeah. After that, we got a thank you video to the 60 million players for Rainbow Six Siege.
Still fascinating.
Holy shit. Yeah, 5 years that game's been out.
And even in the thank you video, they talked about all the problems that they had.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And then a small team. Like, I guess I didn't realize that as well, as it seems like that I think they were a little bit surprised at how at launch, how much following the game got, you know, good, bad, and indifferent, because they, you know, they were talking about a small team and what it's evolved into now, in terms of it being a top esports game and a top competitive shooter, is so fascinating. But it's just one of those things where I just wonder if they thought that this game was going to come out and just hang around for a little while they were working on something else a little bit more story driven, and then it took off. Even in a rough state, it took off.
Yeah, it took off, and it looks like it's not stopping anytime soon. It's definitely become its own platform that we'll probably see it at the next, you know, Ubi Forward, it coming to next gen consoles. Mm-hmm. And it'll probably be a platform for a while. It's definitely going to be one of those games that they're probably going to have to decide at one point, do they continue it as a platform or do they try and make a Rainbow Six Siege 2? Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, something we've seen with other games where, you know, you have to decide, are there enough people coming to the platform? But with 60 million people that have made accounts, at least, you know, they say there's right. 60 million players, but we know that's not a concurrent number or anything like that. That's just total downloads. But I guess it's strong enough for them to stay committed to this game, or at least
especially
hint at being
not
committed.
Going free to play either, and the seasonal content and you know, keeping I don't know the exact number of active players or players that have logged in like this season, but they continuously release new operators, and it's one of those questions of like how many more operators can they go before a game like this needs a fresh reset, you know?
Yeah. But then you also have to go into the problem of, if we do a fresh reset, do we have to carry over?
Yeah.
You know, people's progress and characters.
How much crap do you get when you bring when you do a fresh reset and you bring out new operators? They're like, that's just like the one we had before. You're making me pay for it again.
Yeah. I have a feeling the next thing we hear about Rainbow Six is like crossplay. Like, yeah. I feel like that would be the next move for them. And Ubisoft isn't afraid of crossplay. They do it for their VR games. Mm-hmm. That's probably going to be the next step for them. They're probably just not quite ready to talk about it. They'll probably wait for them to release it on the next-gen consoles. And then once it's on the next-gen consoles, crossplay is enabled. And the game has several more years of legs under it because of that.
Right.
What did they show after that, Dave?
They talked more about Hyperscape. They released Hyperscape in like a super closed format to a lot of streamers and content creators about a week ago now. And Hyperscape is currently a PC-based battle royale that takes place in a digital world, essentially. And you can pick up these hacks on the fly, kind of like as you're looting areas and finding things. You find new hacks, which are kind of like abilities or specials that you can use, whether it's like a slam or a, you know, like a blink ability, or you know, there's a lot going on. I've watched a couple streams of these games, and there is a lot going on with a lot of movement and a lot of verticality.
Yeah, it's like Quake Unreal Engine or Unreal Tournament amount of.
I was fascinated with the verticality, and I was also fascinated with how many places you could actually go inside, mm-hmm. like the buildings and things like that. You could go in and the movement. It's, you know, and it's currently only on PC. So the new trailer for the Battle Royale that's being, you know, that's been tested. It takes place in 2054. Technology went too fat. Blah 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 blah. Corporations made a VR game that everyone participates in. And it sounds like you can gain notoriety by doing well, but there's obviously issues going on. And the open beta is now on all is available to everybody on PC.
Yes.
And then they did a deeper look into character design, and they're talking about seasons again. So they're trying to hit that Fortnite Apex itch. I don't blame them. It seems to be something successful enough, and the seasonal content is proven to work. I just hope they start talking about consoles soon, because I like what I see on the game in terms of what I see on PC. I don't know if this could run on current gen.
It probably could. I think it could. Like, I know it's moving pretty crazy, but they could probably hit 60 frames on current gen, right? Probably.
It's a big world. I mean, I guess if Call of Duty can put 200 players on the field, like maybe they can. I mean, the biggest thing that I have, like, the concept behind this is cool. The battle royals are fine. Like, I understand that there's a huge player base for those, and I get it. I've tried to check some of them out. I probably will give Hyperscape a try just to get my butt kicked again. The thing that bothers me the most, I guess, and you can maybe speak to this a little bit more with Overwatch, is that the continuously trying to tell a story in a battle royale always seems kind of weird. Apex is trying to do that as they introduce new character class, and it almost feels like you care about it for those 5 minutes while you're watching the cutscene, but then it's like, okay, either the character fits my playstyle or they don't.
Yeah, anytime games are trying to tell like a world story, but around a battle royale or a multiplayer game,
Feels flat.
Yeah, so. It there's just a disconnect for that, to where I don't really care. Like, when I was watching the trailer, I was just like, oh, there's a story. Like, does anyone truly care that there's a story?
Are you downloading Hyperscape because the story got you, or are you downloading Hyperscape because it's a battle royale and you enjoy playing battle royales?
You enjoy to play it so you can hear, you know, strangers call you horrible names. Like, you're not paying attention to the world building. It's cool. The game has a great look to it and design, so I'm not knocking that. But yeah, I don't think anyone that's going to get into this game is going to be in it for the lore.
Yeah, and it's not a surprise that as big of a publisher as Ubisoft is, for them to throw their hat in the battle royale ring, it's almost expected at this point. So.
Mm-hmm. And they've proven with pretty much every game they release is they will stick with it.
They'll support the hell out of it, yeah.
So if it doesn't hit, just give them 2 years and they'll make it work.
So after they talked about Hyperscape and saying that beta is open for everybody, they brought Phil Spencer onto the show. He talked about Watch Dogs Legion will support smart delivery. Legion, not Legions, sorry. Will support smart delivery, like we already talked about. And then he announced that Ubisoft's team has been able to produce ray tracing on next gen, on Series X. And they talked about that for Valhalla and for Watch Dogs.
Yes, yeah. I believe so.
So, and then that led right into Assassin's Creed Valhalla. Obviously, we've seen the reveal at Xbox for this, or the announcement of the game with a small reveal. Then it was at the Xbox third-party event, and now it's at their Ubisoft Forward event. Humanizing Vikings, farmer aspect was talked about.
I like that part. Yeah. Because when you think of Vikings, you don't really think about farming.
Some people were concerned just because of the precedent that they've set with previous Assassin's Creed games. You can play as a male Viking or as a female Viking. So they got that out of the way right away. I feel like that was a lingering question, but I also feel like it was kind of one of those things where, yeah, it'll happen. It's expected.
Mm-hmm. Especially after Odyssey.
Yeah. So the producer talked about the field research, the in-game footage time, the largest variety of enemies in an Assassin's Creed game. you know, they showed enemy coordination,
which was kind of big because I don't know if you've played enough Assassin's Creed games, but there it was always comical when you're playing Assassin's Creed. They've gotten better over the years, but oftentimes you'll be against 10 people that they'll just get in a circle
one and nine are around you. Yeah.
Yeah. And they just watch until you kill their friend. And then it's like, okay, now it's your turn. So they finally are fixing that to some extent, which I have a feeling just means smaller groups that you will fight in and they'll like team up a little bit.
Yeah.
But at least they are addressing a lot of different things in Assassin's Creed with this one.
Yeah, they talked about a stun system and a dual wielding. The dual wielding system looks really cool. The stealth, obviously, is as an Assassin's game. Hunting and forging regains health, and then assault.
That scares me.
Yeah, have fun storming the castles. What concerned me about what they were showing was, you know, moving down. Like this is that you know, going from point A to point B and seeing 14 shiny figures. Shiny objects, like that's a little bit concerning to me because a lot of times, like, I really want to see the story that they're telling. You know, whether they're still telling the story about the Arbalest, or I don't even remember what it's called anymore. But you know, is it going to still evolve around the time travel ancestor mechanic? You know, is that even a thing anymore? I haven't, you know, the Desmond aspect that they had for years, and then the building your home base based on getting other, like, it just looked very, I immediately don't want to play this game right away because I feel like I'm going to be very overwhelmed.
Yeah. Like when they showed the hunting stuff and the foraging, I was just like, oh no, that just seems way more in depth than I want. I'm still interested in the game despite that. But if there's, when I see like that level of detail going into it, that's usually when I knock a game down to easy, just to save myself the trouble of having to engage too much.
It's also the worry of, if I don't do that, am I going to have a hard time doing this next mission because I don't have the tools or the abilities or I'm not a high enough level? So anytime that a campaign-driven story game, and I guess Assassin's Creed's moving away from that, or has moved away from that for the most part. It's still there, but the side missions and the world is what it's more about. That aspect always concerns me a little bit, because I really want to see what the Viking story is.
Mm-hmm.
But am I going to have a hard time seeing what the Viking story is because I didn't take over that little town that I rode past on the boat?
Yeah. Did your nice farming Viking raid that little village that would give you more story? And I just don't want to, like, we know Valhalla, and then we'll talk about, you know, Far Cry later. Those games are going to have that Ubisoft structure that all their open world games have had for the last 5 years, because they just started to talk about, like, they want to move away from like the standard structure that all their games kind of play the same.
Right.
So I'm fully expecting myself having to like take over villages so then I can cleanse that zone, and then that
they showed that map of allies and I'm just like, oh boy.
Yeah, so there's going to be a lot of that. Am I not going to be able to upgrade my weapons unless I, like, skin 30 deers?
Yeah.
If I'm going to fall into that same structure, which has kept me away from Assassin's Creed as they've gotten bigger and larger. I've moved away from the franchise.
Yeah, I have friends that love this game, and they're like, oh, I put, you know, 57 hours in, and I'm only, you know, 60% of the way through the game. I'm like, I'm out.
Like, I want to see, like, this story with the Vikings, like, because I feel like the Vikings aren't truly, like, an explored thing, except for, like, maybe the last 10 years, or maybe less than that, 5 years, with, like, TV and video games and movies. So I want to see their take on it. So I'll probably pick up the game when it comes out, but it's, I want to see the story more than I want to play this game. And
yeah, for sure.
I don't want to watch like a YouTube video of someone playing the game just because they'll probably have to engage in the grinding and all that stuff. So it'll definitely be one of those games that I'm going to have to pick up and just kind of like blinders on and see how far I can get in the story without like having to engage with the dozens and dozens and dozens of hours of side content.
And that's fine. Like, if those people love the game and they love the combat and they love the what it gives them, like, I'm all for it. But I just concerned about punishing the player that maybe doesn't care And that's always a hard balance to have in games. It's a very, very hard balance. Some games nail it, some games don't. So.
Yeah.
And then this guy, Yves
Guillemot.
Guillemot, who is the co-founder and CEO, came out and says, you know, talking about, I hope you enjoyed what you saw. And pretty much he said that there's going to be another one. There's going to be another Ubisoft Forward later this year, which is good because there's a handful of games that we know about that weren't even mentioned during in this at all.
Yeah, we can. We'll talk about those like after the one more game.
So they did the one more game, and like this is where what I hinted at earlier of like, okay, like this is called Far Cry 6. They started like they did Far Cry 5, they did Far Cry New Dawn, and or no, I'm sorry, was it called Far Cry 5 New Dawn, right? Actually, I don't remember. Yeah. But then this is Far Cry 6, and they, you know, they showed a TV style opening sequence, then revealing that it's Giancarlo Esposito. Did I say that right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Giancarlo Esposito. Yeah.
Yeah. So what is he known for being in? Because I can't speak to this.
Gus Fring from Breaking Bad. He's considered like his role in Breaking Bad is like one of the best like crime lord kingpin like roles in like modern television. Like he's like up there with like Scarface in terms of like drug lord like villains in like media. So getting him is a big deal, and it looks like they'll just have him do that but on a grander scale because of the role he is playing in this one.
Yeah. Or so they show him as playing the president of a country during a revolution and teaching his child about how to be a leader using a grenade.
Which is creepy. So we still don't know who the kid is. There's like rumors that this might be a prequel. We don't really know if that to be the case. But he's teaching his kid how to be a dictator, basically, how to be a leader by putting a grenade in his kid's hands, pulling the pin from it, and then basically just kind of just seeing if the kid's willing to drop the grenade on some people, and just telling them that you just need to like take things. It's really dark. I'm still curious, who are we even going to play in this game?
Well, and that's the thing that, like, with the Far Cry games, and I spent an extensive amount of time with Far Cry 5 and Far Cry New Dawn. I want to go back and play, like, 3 and 4 just because of the time I have playing those games and it being a first-person shooter-style aspect game. It's never about the player. Like, they truly are ones that nail that this is you. Most of the time, you're kind of unknown or you're just, like, deputy or sheriff. And it's always been about the villain, whether it's the cult leader or, you know, the twins in the Far Cry 5 and New Dawn series. It's always the focal point is the villain, and you're getting the villain's story through the character's eye. You're not getting the character's eye. It's just this person, guy or girl, that's stopping whatever's happening, and you get to see the whole aspect of the story of of the villain. So the villain is the focal point of the game, not the hero.
Yeah. Which is always an interesting concept in that, like,
they do it very well though.
Yeah.
Like, they've proven like 3, 4, 5 that, you know, that they can do it. And those characters are more known or more well known than the player you play as, because
again
it's first person. There's a little bit of like outfits, which I never really understood because you never really look at it. The concern, obviously, the concern and expectation hand in hand goes probably co-op, because they've done co-op of the last couple of games. And then the immediate, like it was even in our Facebook group later earlier today, the immediate questions about co-op progression, because they seem to always struggle with nailing that correctly of like, oh, if you do this with my friend, it doesn't count. Like,
will they ever get that shit right? Because it seems like they are aware of it, and they can't claim it's impossible.
Well, their other games have worked. Like, they've done it with Breakpoint, and they've done it with Division, they've done it with all these other things. So I don't know why you can't. Like, it's so weird. Like, they were close with Far Cry 5, where it's like, are you aware that you're playing something out of order? And it's that open world still telling an interesting story as well. So to see how this will, I would expect this game to have probably regions, sort of like areas that you have to clear out, and you can clear them out in any order you want as you're going, maybe through lieutenants to get to El Presidente. You know, and telling the story and finding out about these people and why they are how they are, or why the president is how he is, and building that demeanor for him. They'll have the little quirkiness of like some weird choices that you get to make, and it'll have, I can't wait to see what either specialists you can recruit or over the top weaponry that we'll have. Like New Dawn had that gun that shot saw blades.
Yeah.
So like all that stuff is always cool, and then seeing how they'll make the economy work. So it's cool, and it's close. Like this is the first time they really said Far Cry 6, and it's coming out in February.
Yep, February. I don't think they specifically said platforms, but everything, just because of the Microsoft thing with the Xbox One and Series X. So it'll be out on everything in February, which
and
also
February seems to be their time when they release their numbered Far Cry games. So everybody's like, oh, why? You know, like it's just they leave like Assassin's Creed to the holiday time frame. They leave some of their other games that they think are going to be like huge franchises. And then Far Cry is still a huge franchise for them, but it just fits in that February, March nook for them.
Yeah. And it, you know, releases before the end of the fiscal year, you know, so they have like one thing to boost their numbers. But like with Assassin's Creed, you know, I worry that this game's coming out too soon, because I was really excited about the idea when they were putting that editorial team together to reexamine how they structure these games. Far Cry is another one of those games. It's structured in a way that doesn't suit my playstyle, or in terms of usually I can only play one Assassin's Creed game a year, because, you know, if I play three games a year, I feel like I've played the same game with a different aesthetic. So being that close to Watch Dogs and Assassin's Creed, and knowing that all those games are kind of structured the same, it kind of worries me that it's coming out in February. But I know the editorial team's only been around for like a year, and then also now they have all these resignations they have to get through that probably affected the editorial team. So we're probably going to see the same sort of game, to where it means I might tap out from the Ubisoft games. You know, I'll probably pick one of these three games to be my game.
Well, what's really interesting, what's really interesting to me is the area that they were showing of this taking place. Like it looks like it's taking place in a town, in a city, in a substantial city. Where, who knows? I'm sure somebody will decipher this trailer and pick out some silhouette
landmark
in the background and say what it is. But the other ones, like Far Cry 5, were taking place like in a county in Montana. Like it was a big open space. And then the other Far Cry games involved a lot of helicopter and moving across broad areas. If this can be an open world, but more like something a little bit more condensed into like a city, I think it might be really interesting and could give a different gameplay loop of letting them do a little bit more stuff versus it's so open in their caveat is you can go way over there. And like, I don't want to go way over there. The boss is over there. You know, because like even like Ghost Recon Breakpoint is, you know, and Division has that sometimes where the map is just so big and there's so many dots on the map. And it's like, okay, like those games have their place and they're great. But I would just love to, you know, and I said this with, you know, with Last of Us even, like I would just love something to just be a little bit more straight line driven.
Yeah, and that's not seemed to be their thing, but they could change with this one, especially with it coming out so soon. Like all three, like the pillars of Ubisoft.
Like Far Cry was the new thing, though. Everything else we knew about.
Yeah, yeah. No, but in terms of like the pillars of Ubisoft, you know, of their non-casual games, you know, not their Just Dance, which is probably their biggest pillar. When you think of Ubisoft, you think of Watch Dogs, Assassin's Creed, Far Cry, and some sort of Tom Clancy game.
Correct.
We're going to have three of their four main games hit within like a 5-month period.
After they just talked about that they thought they hit us too hard with Breakpoint and Division 2 at the same time.
Yes, that is my only concern, that they're almost like, I almost feel like Far Cry could be helped by just moving it just a little bit further away.
And I think that maybe their goal is to, you know, maybe spread it out like you talked about with the editorials. But now, like, they've already spent this time and resource in, you know, in on essentially on prior gen, and they just got to get it out. I think that, you know, at this point in time, like they just got to get this stuff out. I guess I'm with you. I don't want it to, but Far Cry 6 is going to run on current gen.
Yeah.
And I don't want it. And I don't want it to. You guys all know that I want something to, but it would just alienate Microsoft right now if they couldn't just run it on Xbox One and PS or Series X and PS5 because Microsoft says you can't do that.
Yeah. Which is why I would love if this got delayed. I know that sounds bad, but like,
yeah, but
you know,
how far until like I'm with you. I'm expecting Microsoft to maybe loosen that time frame, but how much are they going to loosen
maybe?
It by 6 months? Like,
yeah, I'm expecting by next holiday though, or next holiday, holiday 2021. I feel like is when Microsoft will back down a little bit from their 18-month window, and they will allow one or two developers to get away with it. But can Far Cry be pushed that far back? Probably not. So
right.
We're going to have to deal with like three huge games.
Yeah, the concern is current gen holding it back, you know?
Yeah, and the answer probably is yes.
Yeah. All right, so that ended the show, and then immediately my head went to, we didn't see certain things, so what did we not see?
Yeah, I put a list of four games that I can think of. Yeah. Skull and Bones, which we're, that's dead, right?
I played it, and I guess I just don't...
Multiple times.
I don't believe anything that I physically have... Like, I don't believe any game that they have put in the hands of press or content creators to play. I don't... Like, that's gotten that far. I have a hard time believing it's dead.
Okay. But even then, at a certain point, when they do bring Skull and Bones out or talk about it, they have to just release it the same day they talk about it at this point, right?
Unless they're putting an extensive single-player campaign into this game, which is what people were asking for.
I don't think we're going to get a full Skull and Bones single-player multiplayer. I think we might get Skull and Bones the multiplayer experience, and then it just gets shadow dropped like that day.
I think if we were going to get Skull and Bones the multiplayer experience, we would have seen it already.
I think it's been so long that that's the best we can get from it. To where, because something's wrong, because it's been, what, 4 years? Three, 4 years? I'd say for Shoney. I know you played it at two E3s.
Yeah.
And it wasn't last year. So you played it like 3 years ago, or it was shown 3-4 years ago. It to me, it's either dead or it's going to be at the point where they're just going to release it as a multiplayer game and it's just going to come out. And then,
yeah, or you just save your grace and try to free to play it. I don't know.
Beyond Good and Evil 2 was also not shown.
But we're also learning over time that you and I have learned that is handled almost. It's produced by Ubisoft, but I feel like it's handled by a third party.
Well, technically, the director, Ansel, I forget the director's name, but I know he no longer works for Ubisoft, or he didn't when they announced Beyond Good and Evil 2, and they brought him in as a contract.
Mm-hmm.
I think they brought in his host studio.
This is my game. You guys are just putting it on a disc for me. So I do what I want.
We still haven't seen it, and it's been two E3s since we've seen it.
Yeah.
Or 2 years since we've seen it. I got to stop saying E3s like E3s exist. Gods and Monsters. That was the like Zelda like experience. I think it was called Gods and Monsters.
Yeah, which kind of like just ended last year's press conference and
got
a date, and people were like, "What? Huh?"
And then a demo leaked on Stadia, a month or two ago. So it's probably close to being it, but maybe that'll be shown later. And then of course, the beautifully titled Rainbow Six Quarantine, which I wonder why we didn't see this game.
I mean, that's supposed to be the PvE Rainbow Six style game, like the cooperative player versus environment game that looked really cool. Kind of gave a little bit of a Resident Evil vibe to it, but with the Rainbow Six tacticalness. Mm-hmm. For me, those games are all no talk of Breakpoint at all. They released something prior to it with a title update trailer that because I was seeing the trailers hit my YouTube feed while I was at work today, and I was like, oh, maybe they talked about Breakpoint. Nope. And
maybe in the pre-show.
Yeah.
Maybe they showed that in the pre-show.
No talk about Division 2.
Which I forgot Division 2.
Not that, I mean, they've announced that they just kicked off a new season, and they released, they're releasing a raid. They just released a raid, so they have produced some content for it, but no plan for, we're going to be coming up this, and then again, they talked about there's going to be a second Ubisoft Forward, but you're coming up on the second year of Division 2 very soon. or the third year. Like, it came out in March, so I guess, you know, we're almost, you know, 9 months away from the third year of the game. Whether at this point in time in the Division's life cycle, we had already the Division Two was a thing that we knew was coming, and to see what they may or may not do with Division franchise going forward is interesting, because I think doing Division Three might be a mistake versus trying to build on to Division Two, similar to what Destiny's been doing.
Yeah, and then no Just Dance, which isn't surprising. I'm sure Just Dance is doing fine with whatever it does.
I think it's something that they have a really hard time showing off in a digital only format. It was always interesting and fascinating when they showed it at a press conference where there was a couple hundred people watching, or they had it on their show floors where they had physical dancers there. But I think to try to show that off on a digital only event just wasn't going to work.
And I wonder with Just Dance if Just Dance, I think this year, or I don't know if it was the last game, they introduced like a subscription model to where mm-hmm. it's just like $3 or $5 a month. You can get like an unlimited catalog. So I wonder if there's no reason for them to show Just Dance, because they might just run with the subscription service over releasing a new title every year. But yeah, those are the Ubisoft games that I can think of that didn't show up, but we'll get another Ubi forward, and if I had a guess, I would assume that would take place during Paris Games Week, which I believe was scheduled for like the last week of October this year. Ubisoft, a French company, maybe would want to do Paris Games Week, which then would let them get a chance to talk about Assassin's Creed and Watch Dogs one last time before they launch. And then they could then have concrete enough stuff to talk about their next gen plans.
Yeah. Do you think that the Xbox event at the end of this month and then the rumored PlayStation 5 State of Play at the end of August is slowing any of these announcements down for them?
I wouldn't be surprised to see like Gods and Monsters pop up at like the Microsoft press conference mm-hmm. Coming up, or like the Sony State of Play. But I don't know if it slowed them down in terms of surprises, just because I feel like we know everything that Ubisoft is working on right now, and they can't really jump ahead. You know, they can't announce a new Rainbow Six game unless they pull out Splinter Cell for Sony or Microsoft. I don't think there's anything they have up their sleeves that they can talk about, because all their big franchises are coming out within the next year.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, it's fine. Like, I'm good with what they showed. This is pretty much kind of what I expected. They are a heavy hitter, but they're just kind of like one of these ones that they're just going to jab you to death, versus they don't have a knockout punch. But they can just sit there and hit you in the chin a whole bunch of times until you either you give up or you get knocked out, one of the two.
Yeah.
But there's nothing that's going to come out of, you know, blindside you that they produce. Like, you know what you're getting when you buy one of these, when you buy a Far Cry or you buy you know, Rainbow Six or any of these games. Like, you know what's coming.
They're Mayweather, not Tyson.
So but again, please let us know, comment on the Facebook group, Twitter, let us know what you think of the event, let us know what you think of the coverage. This will hit our feeds. Obviously it'll be like everything else we've done, it'll have a different picture. So if you don't care about the Ubisoft games, you didn't have to listen to it. If you did listen to it, thank you so much. As always, show notes, everything, have links to the Facebook group, the Discord, Twitter, his Twitter, my Twitter. Again, leaving a review, sharing the show, and supporting us on Patreon if you so choose. Our July episode is live, so you have May, June, and July as bonus content. July episode is origin stories and why we do what we do, and we're still looking for suggestions for other episodes. Our future plans, you know, Microsoft's event is supposed to be the end of July, like July 23rd, 25th.
Yes.
So we'll definitely do something like this. If anybody comes out of left field and hits us with a hard punch that's worth us doing an episode, if all of a sudden Jeff Keighley breaks some major thing during his Summer Games Week, like, we have the ability to sit down and talk about it for half an hour, 45 minutes. So we'll keep producing content for you guys as long as you guys keep consuming it and telling us that you like it.
Yep. So.
All right. I hope everyone has a great time. We will talk to you, if you're listening to this in order, the next episode should be on the feed really soon. So
yeah, in the next couple days. See ya.